Commissioner Edelstein, are you there?
I sure am. It's great to be with you.
Well, we're just privileged to have you with us this evening, and I want you to know and the listeners out there in the city to know that we also have here in the studio John Sugg, who is the senior editor of Creative Loafing Newspapers here in Atlanta, as well as Bill Clark, who is the program director at WCLK here in Atlanta. I want to welcome all of you all to WRFG this evening. We're poised for you to be coming to Atlanta in the next couple of days, Commissioner Edelstein.
Well, I'm sure looking forward to it, and I appreciate all your help in organizing this wonderful forum we're going to have in Atlanta about the future of the media in this country. I think it's essential that we hear from people in Atlanta about what they think about how we should approach the rules that we're about to radically overhaul.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about organizing this in Atlanta is that I'm so impressed with the fact that there are so many people who are so concerned about this.
We found there's people concerned all over the country. Usually we only get a handful of comments from people that write into us about various proceedings. Usually they're the companies that are interested or a handful of others. We've had over 130,000 comments on this, which is unprecedented in our history. And it still represents only a tiny portion of the country because everybody in this country is affected by this. It's going to shape how we see, hear, and read about the world around us in the years to come. So I think that when people hear about this, they get very alarmed by the direction it's taking. They think that big media companies are big enough already, and they're concerned about allowing them to grow even larger and more dominant.
Absolutely. I'm going to ask John Sugg or Bill Clark if they have a question of you.
Commissioner, this is John Sugg. I also note, though, from the polls that like more than 90% of the people, I think it was 94% of the people, knew very little about this FCC decision. Do you perceive that as a problem? And let me just continue for a second. Here, our media here, where, you know, we have one of the exemptions to the cross-ownership rule, one of the two dozen exemptions that were granted 28 years ago, and the Cox media here have not reported a word on their own involvement and their own self-interest in these FCC changes. Do you see the media, big media, doing that around the nation?
Yeah, we're really having a problem getting this thing out over the national media. There was a study that was done last winter, I believe, that showed 72% of people hadn't heard about this. I think that number's got to be down by now because we are starting to break through in the press. We finally, after browbeating them and calling them on it, gotten a couple networks to run a story on this. It's getting press in a lot of newspapers around the country. Our efforts to come to communities like Atlanta make it easier for people in large urban areas like that to hear about it and to be able to participate in the discussion. But we've seen instances where the networks haven't run this story when they have an angle on it, when they have a financial interest in the story. For example, I did a similar field hearing in San Francisco, and the only station that covered it in town was an independent station that wasn't affiliated or owned by a network, and the network-owned stations wouldn't run the story. So it raised some real concerns, and that happened in North Carolina. I certainly hope that doesn't happen in Atlanta.
Have you ever been lobbied by a Cox lobbyist?
I have.
Would it surprise you to know that the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, WSB here, have never reported that they even employ lobbyists?
No, I'd be curious to know if they've reported on this story. Have they done any stories about the pending
Well, they ran a New York Times story, the Times story that ran, I believe, last Monday, a week ago today.
Oh,
but they cut out the one line that would have given rise to people thinking, well, they cut out the line mentioning the Tribune Company and Gannett, which, if you take out that line, you don't have any real reference to the newspaper publishers wanting to own TV stations, except for a tiny reference at the bottom. Of course, the word Cox never appears in the story. And if you go back through months and months of archives, which, as you may detect, I've done, you don't find any reference in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution or in WSB to the fact that Cox has an interest in this at all.
Well, this is a really, really great case study into the question about whether ownership affects what gets covered. I think that this story by itself has demonstrated that certainly there is a connection between what the owners believe and what gets covered, particularly when there's a financial interest involved. And it's been a big concern, and it's something we ought to take into account before we allow the big companies to get even bigger, because it's not just what you hear about, it's what you don't hear about that matters most sometimes.
Absolutely. Bill, you want to chime in here for a second?
Yeah, since we have the, you know, the rare opportunity to speak with the commissioner of the FCC, I think it'd be really cool. And I teach classes at Clark Atlanta University as well as being on the air at WCLK Radio. And I guess the question I would have that I'd see as sort of a big picture question, it seems that the origin of the Federal Communications Commission was to serve as a guardian of the public airwaves and to make sure that broadcasters broadcast in the public interest, convenience, and necessity. And it seems right now they're trying to manage the spectrum of the airways for, I guess, fun and profit for the U.S. government. But are there still voices among the commissioners that sort of want to remain or retain the guardianship of the airwaves?
Well, I certainly consider myself one. I think you're exactly right. Being a radio broadcaster yourself, you understand that this commission was founded in the 1930s in order to regulate the radio spectrum in the interest of the public. What I'm concerned about is we're increasingly looking at this in terms of the interests of the corporations that use the public's airwaves to profit themselves. And now there's no reason that companies shouldn't do that. That's what a free, you know, market system is all about. Problem is, there isn't a free market when it comes to the radio or to television, because you can't just go open your own radio station. You can't just open your own TV station. You have to get a license to do it. There's a lot more people that want those licenses than we have them available for people. So the few that have it have a special trust and obligation to serve the public. I'm afraid that we're cutting some of the last ties that we have requiring broadcasters to do anything about the public interest. I mean, the only thing we have left is some of these ownership rules, and as we do away with those, broadcasters are free to do with the spectrum as they wish and largely ignore the needs of the community and the needs of the public.
You know, one of the concerns I have, Commissioner Edelstein, is also rural areas. They are so left behind. And in the South, there have been just so many problems. One of our colleagues, radio station colleagues in South Alabama, every time they own a small radio station in around Selma, and every time there was a critical election in Alabama last year, their radio station was forced off the air the last time their transmitter was destroyed with diesel fuel. So, but people want to get information, and with rules and other kinds of issues facing us in the South, it's difficult.
Yeah, we all know the sad history of Selma and what had to be done there to try to break through, and how the Southern media treated the initial situation down there. I mean, the problem is you have the media dominated by what we might call the establishment or whatever you want to call it. They're not going to cover stories necessarily that are critical to the order that they're trying to impose, be it apartheid or whatever else. I mean, that's no longer, thank God, the case, but there's other problems that come up in these communities. And they may not get covered unless we have a diversity of viewpoints. Now, the point is to have a lot of different owners, because maybe certain owners might not want to run certain stories that are uncomfortable for them, but hopefully somebody else will, and the competition will lead to the word getting out to people over their airwaves. And if just a fewer number of people own the airwaves and they become national people from out of state, not only does for rural areas, does the money get transferred out of the local community, but the local community doesn't get stories covered about what's happening in its own environment. I'm from a rural state myself. I sometimes joke I'm from the South, but it's South Dakota.
Okay.
It's a very rural area, and we can't afford to see the few local outlets that we have that are owned and operated by people in the community to be transferred to national owners, because we're afraid that we just won't see the kind of coverage of local issues that we need to see. We want to get different viewpoints on it, different perspectives on it, not just those of big national media conglomerates.
Has there been any effort to take a look at Clear Channel, since it jumped with both feet into politics with its rallies supporting the war effort?
Well, you know, there's nothing in the rules against that. The commission did away with what was called the Fairness Doctrine in 1987, which required balance of viewpoints. The only thing we have left now is media ownership. The issue that some have raised is that as a company like Clear Channel owns over 1,200 stations, it can dominate the airwaves to an unreasonable extent, is the allegation. I mean, it's fine if somebody wants to run a pro-war rallies or a pro-war perspective, but you also want to have other stations that are running another perspective so that there's a competing viewpoint so people can make the decisions for themselves. But if a few companies get so large and crowd out the marketplace of ideas, you don't have the flow of ideas. You don't have the competition for thoughts about, you know, which way the war is going or which side people should be on. And that's a real concern.
I know we're going to be talking about so many of these issues on Wednesday night. We're going to give all the details to all you listeners out there. I know many of you already know where it is and so forth, but we're going to go into that in just a few moments. But one of the concerns I had also is reading literature about national radio stations and so forth, like during the elections in Florida, when there was a debate going on in Florida. One of the major media stations said that they didn't want to air the debate because they didn't want to lose profit from a baseball game they wanted to air. Well, you know, what is this doing about so-called democracy, Commissioner Edelstein?
Well, I think our democracy is at real risk here. The very core of a democracy is the free expression of competing viewpoints. And we've always held as a basic tenet of our democracy that we would make sure that there would be a diversity of owners of our nation's airwaves so that people could hear different views, so that we'd have a vibrant, uninhibited marketplace of ideas. And I think that what we're going to do on June 2nd, when the chairman has said he wants to finalize these rules, is a potential threat to our democracy. And we're doing it in a very undemocratic way. We're not really allowing people to weigh in on what the proposal is. People haven't seen the details of the proposal. I've got them here on my desk, but I'm not allowed under our rules to share them with anybody. So we really haven't gotten the kind of democratic input into something which so deeply affects the future of our democracy.
Now, Commissioner Edelstein, it's also my understanding that Congress has asked to look at those, and they haven't seen them either? Is that right?
Right. A number of members of Congress have weighed in that they would like to see them before we finalize them, and the chairman has refused those requests.
And doesn't Congress oversee the FCC?
Congress oversees the FCC, but the FCC also is considered an independent agency. And there are a number in Congress who want to see us do this quickly and as painlessly as possible. You know, those who are the friends of the big media companies or believe that it's not a problem if big media gets bigger. They're on the other side. So Congress is split. And ultimately, if Congress wants to dictate to us what to do, they've got to pass a law. And given the power of these media giants, I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Well, you know, we were just going to talk to you for a brief little while this evening because we want to tantalize those folks out there listening so that they'll be coming out. We know there are going to be a lot of people coming out to this hearing. There's a tremendous amount of interest here in the city of Atlanta. And we look forward to you coming down here and continuing with this discussion. Thank you very much for all of your great work.
Well, I sure appreciate your inviting me down to Atlanta. I do want to encourage people to come out and make your voices heard. This is an unprecedented tour that Commissioner Copps and I are doing, going to local communities like Atlanta and hearing from people about their concerns. Usually the FCC operates in sort of an ivory tower over here where we make these decisions within our walls, but Commissioner Copps and I feel this is such an important issue to everybody in this country that we need to reach out and go to people and listen to what they have to say and get their input before we finalize these rules. So please do come out, and we look forward to seeing you all on Wednesday evening.
Just before you go, people are going to be coming out and making their public comments, but we've also asked folks to come with some written comments to give to you and Commissioner Copps before you leave Atlanta.
Well, that would be great. We'll make sure those get entered into the official record of our proceeding on this.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, and we'll see you on Wednesday.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Pleasure. Thanks.